ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I plan to speak now on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 633, according to the commentary of Sri Parashara Bhatta, who is the first Sri Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranama. And other commentators, Shankaracharya has broken up the names somewhat differently, so get different numbers for different names. This name is a name which could be taken as two names, Shashvata Sthira, two words. So you all know what the word Shashvata means? Permanent, yeah. And Sthira, you know what that means? Fixed, stable, permanent, like that. So it could very well be two names, but Parashara Bhatta has given it as one name, so I'll also take it like that. This series of names, Parashara Bhatta, he's taking it to taking the names, understanding them to be describing the Archa, the deity form of the Lord. So eternal and permanent. The two words are similar, but if Shashvata is taken as an adjective of sthira instead of a name or a noun in itself, then we can compare with that which is steady, but not permanently so. Now, everyone in this world, every living being, they remain steadily fixed in their position, in their body, for some time. But then it changes. How many bodies have we had? Who can say? Krishna knows. No one else knows. So as long as we're in a body, it seems like it's permanent. But it's not. Furthermore, our body is always changing, as we know from the famous example Lord Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, that the body changes from boyhood to youthhood to old age. And then death is the final change of the body. So although there's a sense of permanence, it always changes. And the child's body looks different to the man's body, and it is chemically analyzed, it is different also. But Krishna doesn't change his body. We say, oh, he does. He's a baby, then he becomes a little older, and then he becomes a youth. But no, that's very importantly, Krishna says several times in Bhagavad Gita that he is Avyaya. That's another name in Vishnu Sahasranama. Means non-expending. Vyaya means expense or diminishing. But avyaya means not diminishing. So Krishna's eternal form appears to undergo changes, but actually his form is permanent. He never dies. He never grows old. He's always a young baby boy. He's always Kishore, a youth. Those forms are eternal. In one universe, on one planet, he might, just like 5,000 years ago approximately, he appeared as the son of Devaki, or the son of Yashoda. And then he appeared to grow old, as does an ordinary boy. But actually, he's always a young baby boy. He's always Kishore. He's always in that form. There's no time when he's not a baby boy. There's no time when he's not a youth. So he's permanently fixed in that. Whereas our existence seems, there's a sense, we have a feeling, I am this body, this is me, but it is transient, it doesn't last. We go to another body, and then what, according to the body we get, we think this is me. Shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam ghranam eva cha adhishthaya manas chayam vishayanupasevate. We get different nose, ears, eyes, tongue, even the sense of touch, Krishna. From this verse we can understand even the sense of touch is different. Just like a dog's sense of smell is different to that of a human. Or the vulture's sense of is more acute. So we learn from biology class. They're probably right. It's not everything they say is wrong. The vulture has a very, no vultures left these days because they send all the cows. Cows don't die in the fields anymore, do they? You don't see cows dying in the fields. You don't see vultures either. You never saw cows dying in the field anyway, because you're from big cities, but it used to be that the cow would be dead in the field and the vultures would come. So they can see from a great height. It's very common in England, the country that this time round this thing was born in. There's a very common bird called a kestrel, and you see, it's kind of hawk, and you see them if you go in the fields, not in the city, hovering way up in the sky, all of a sudden, phew, means they saw a mouse down on the ground, and they drop down, and they go up again, and they've got a little mouse. So they can see a mouse from a great height. So the different sense, the senses work differently, and for the dog also, for hearing, his sense of hearing is very acute. In the dog culture that I come from, they have dog whistles. You blow it, the human can't hear it, but it's very high pitch. The dog can hear it. And in Bangalore's also dog culture now, but they're a bit behind. They probably don't have all these things. So the sense of, all the senses, they are different in different bodies. And of course, for every individual, they're different. And that's a the kind of thing that philosophers waste their time with discussing, that, well, what I see green, is that what everyone else sees as green? And what I see, does everyone else see the same thing? And the philosophers discuss things like that. Useless philosophers, we're discussing useless philosophy, meaningless philosophy. But the point we can understand is that the senses of different living beings work in different ways and different levels. And we change from body to body to body. So now we think it natural and normal, and it's always like that. Atmavan manyate jagat. We think that the way we see and touch and taste and smell and feel and hear, well, it's like that for everyone. But it's only, it may be to some extent, but it's different for the dog or the cat or the fly, we're told, again from biology class, their method, their way of seeing is very different. It's in black and white, and they have multi-vision of different. Instead of having one vision, they have multi. At least that's what I learned in biology class. And it may have changed by now, although the flies didn't. But what they say about them may have changed. So how does Krishna see? Well, that comes in one of the names just before this. In fact, just before this, Shashvatas, Sarvatas Chakshush. He sees everything in all ways, at all times, super senses. He feels everything at all times, in all places. It's unimaginable to us. And it doesn't change. Krishna's the same. In Banke Bihari temple in Vrindavan a few years ago, they dressed Krishna in blue jeans with and gave him a cell phone. There was a big protest about that because Krishna, he wears the same kind of clothes all the time. He doesn't change with the fashions. He's Pitambara. Of course, he may dress in different colors also, but generally he likes to dress with yellow cloths. And notwithstanding what some very intelligent people like to postulate, he also wears a dhoti. At least we learn that from Srila Prabhupada. So we take it for granted that it's a fact. So Krishna is the same. Now there is a very beautiful prayer by Sri Vallabhacharya that he's different at every moment. He's this moment, he's this, then he's something else. He's different all the time also. So that's contradictory, isn't it? That rasa, what is rasa? Rasa is a sense of wonder. A sense of wonder comes about when something different and unexpected comes. So that's Krishna. He's different and unexpected at every moment. But at the same time, he's the same. So that's possible for Krishna. Please turn off your cell phone if you haven't already done so. So everything is there in Krishna. He's the same and he's different. He's always different, but he's always the same. He's always unexpected. You can never tell what's going to happen. Even his pastimes, they seem to be the same. They take a cycle, the same. But there's a feeling of ever freshness in his pastimes. The devotees, they always experience new wonder at every moment. And that's another feature of his sameness, that he never runs out of being fresh and wonderful and exciting and interesting and in all ways attractive. So to be absolutely the same all the time, that's not attractive. That's the impersonalist idea, that Brahman means sameness. But of course, the Ramanujacharya is given, yes, sameness, Advaita, but Vishishta Advaita. There is variety in oneness. So oneness in the sense that he's always the same. He's always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead now. And then he died. God is dead. Some people have this idea. God is dead. But he never died. Not even as we, even though he has human-like pastimes, he doesn't die as we do. There's pastime or recounted in the Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam of his apparent death. But that's not his actual pastime, that he died. He doesn't actually die. That's clearly described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that he enacted that pastime for the sake of bewildering the atheists, that they could say, I see he died. God is dead. Krishna is dead. But it was time for him to wind up his manifest pastimes on this planet. And therefore he enacted this pastime and he went back to Godhead. Krishna went back to Godhead. He is Godhead. He left this world. And Krishna Swadhamo Pagate. He went back to his own abode. Krishna is eternally the same means that he's eternally reliable. when he says, Mame kam sharanam raja ahangtva sarva papebhyo moksha yishami ma shucha. Don't worry. We may think, well, he said that to Arjuna 5,000 years ago, but I'm not Arjuna and I'm here now in Bangalore in 2018. Where's Krishna? But that benediction is offered to everyone at all times. When Krishna says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Arjuna, you declare it, that my devotee never perishes. Then that promise is eternal. It's not like the promise given in some novel or in some history book. That Krishna promised Arjuna, and now Krishna's not here, Arjuna's not here. It's just some story out of the Mahabharata. But it's an eternal vow, which he is eternally committed to fulfill. We can have full faith in Krishna's words, because he is eternally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Means he is eternally capable of fulfilling his promise, even if he has to break his own promise. He will protect his devotees. He's so much committed to that. He demonstrates. He comes to this world. We may say that, well, it's not necessary for him to come to this world. He can just have someone else speak Bhagavad Gita, just like Srila Prabhupada spoke Bhagavad Gita about. He's said the same verse again and again. Savadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja, and says this in relationship to Krishna. But Krishna comes personally and demonstrates that. We all know very famously how Bhishma vowed that I'll kill Arjuna. The only way he's going to get out alive tomorrow is if Krishna breaks his promise. So Krishna had to break his promise, but he would not allow Arjuna to be unprotected. As long as Arjuna could fight with others, then Krishna was, of course, Krishna was protecting him all the time, but at least superficially it seemed that Arjuna was by his own strength fighting. And then when the battle was over, Krishna told Arjuna, now get off the chariot, and boom, it all burned up immediately. And Arjuna said, what happened? He said, well, that was all the arrows with Agnayastras, the fire arrows with so many mantras, which I was just holding that all back. So now the weapons with mantras, they have to have their fulfillment. So now Krishna, now there's no need, and shoom. So Arjuna thought he was doing it all himself, but Krishna was holding back the power of, because so many weapons, they work by mantra. And it's not just, we hear bows and arrows, we think it's something primitive, but actually it's highly sophisticated technology that they were fighting with, mantra technology. So Krishna, he came to demonstrate, and he came to demonstrate that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's extremely interested in protecting his devotees. And from Vishnu Sahasranama, we also get this information from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's all the same. It's all the same message is there. That Krishna is the eternal person who is eternally fixed in his vow to protect his devotees. So in that way also, there's so many names in Vishnu Sahasranama, their meaning overlaps. So one of the names is also Achala. He's unmoving. He won't move from that vow. There's nothing you can do you can't convince him, you can't force him, you can't seduce him to change his vow to protect his devotee. So that's very encouraging for someone who wants to be protected. In this material world, there's no protection. We try to protect ourselves. But Balasyaneha Sharanang Pitaro Nrsimhaha. The Prahlad, he prayed to Nrsimhadev that parents think that they're protecting their children, but actually they can't. Yeah. Fate is so powerful. Nartasya Chagaramudanvati Majato, no. There are so many examples Prahlad gave. You may be in a boat, you think this boat is very good, I'm safe in the boat, but by the whims of the ocean, the very powerful boat can be overturned. And the famous example of that is the Titanic, which was advertised as being unsinkable. Now we have conquered nature, unsinkable boat. And famously, it sunk on its first voyage. And no one since then has claimed to make an unsinkable boat. Or for example, an example that Prahlad gives is that medicine for a patient may have very good medicine, very good doctor, but it's not, you can try and it may work, but ultimately for one who is not taking shelter of Nrsimhadev, then they must be vanquished. There's no shelter. So that's another name in Vishnu Sahasranam. Sharanyam, he's the one worthy to take shelter of. So Krishna, he is eternally. He comes to personally demonstrate that, and we can know that he's there with us. If we want to be with him, he'll be with us. And he'll protect us and uplift us. He won't go away. Sarvatas Chakshuhu, he's always there. There's two names before. So he's always seeing us, always looking after us. Even if we somehow forget him, but if we're fixed in the vow that my life is meant for Krishna, Diksha Kale Bhakta Kare Atma Samarpan. If we've actually taken initiation, which means to the vow to dedicate ourselves fully in Krishna's service, then due to some circumstances or some bad habit or whatever, we may forget Krishna. But if we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will protect us. Another important point is that his teachings are always the same, always applicable. He says the same thing. I plan to give an extended talk on this a little later this week, how Krishna's teachings are eternal and permanent, but he establishes that in Bhagavad Gita. Imang vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyavyam vivasvan manave praha manur ikshvakave bravit. That this knowledge that I spoke to the sun god, he spoke to Manu, Manu spoke to Ikshvaka, and evang parampara praptam imang raja shayo vidu hu. Sakaleneha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. Krishna said the same knowledge was passed down, and now, due to the mighty force of time, that knowledge which was passed down in the succession of saintly kings, that has become, he used the word nashta, which really means spoiled, but it's not exactly that the knowledge itself becomes spoiled, but the transmission of it has become broken, has become spoiled. So Krishna doesn't say, oh, well, that died out, so it must be useless, so let's try another kind of knowledge. Let's speak something new and different, relevant to the times. Nowadays, people are not much interested in Bhagavad Gita, so let's give a course on psychology or Ayurveda. People will be more interested in that. But Krishna said, no, I'm going to speak the same knowledge to you. Why? Because knowledge is knowledge. It doesn't change. It's something just like 1 + 1 = 2. It's an eternal fixed fact. It doesn't change. What is the background of everything? What is the steady background of everything? That is Krishna. The knowledge doesn't change. The background of knowledge is Krishna, and the ultimate object of knowledge is Krishna. Vaidaishta sarveraham eva vedyaha. Krishna is the object of knowledge in the Vedas. That's true, eternally. The Vedas are eternal. Veda means knowledge. Knowledge of that which is eternal. We may say, well, in the Vedas it doesn't say that... What was the name you were telling me with the beard? Anyway, it doesn't matter. There's some cricketer with a beard. I was just noting that it's become a fashion now here in India for young men to have beards. Virat Kohli. Kohli, not Kohli. Because Kohli is fisherman class, right? But Kohli. So he's got a beard. Where's that in the Vedas? All knowledge is in the Vedas. Is that in the Vedas? I hope not. That's not knowledge. That is some information about someone in the material world who is a important person in the minds of many people. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tad tad eva taro janaha. If Virat Kohli has a beard, then so many other people will want to have beards. So the principle is there. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tad tad eva taro janaha. But the evidence of Bhagavad Gita is the young man with a beard. Now he's leaving. Like, please come back. We love you, even though you've got a beard. He's trying to get someone out of here. Instead of trying to get someone out, you can come in. How about that? Better idea. No. You're searching for Krishna. You've been searching for millions of lifetimes. Come in. You're welcome. I didn't say that to insult you. Just give it later. So Krishna, the knowledge he gives is actual knowledge that we need to know. We don't need to know what is someone's batting average. That's not knowledge. We could say that is information, useless information. Useless, unless you're doing some, what do they call that, general knowledge quiz or something? What do they call it? Aptitude test or something like that. You're supposed to learn all these useless things to show that you're well tuned into this useless world so that you can become useful in someone's plan to get more money and waste their life and waste your life. So... you can learn all these things, but it's a waste of time. But the knowledge Krishna gives, that is actual knowledge, is not outdated. It'll never be outdated. Krishna speaks that the body is temporary, the soul is eternal, we're eternal parts and parcels of Krishna, and this material world is full of suffering. We have to go to the place which is not suffering, yadgatvana nivartante tadhama paramabhava, tadhama paramamama. Yeah, anbhavan also. But it's my abode. Yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashyati. Everything in this world is destroyed, that is never destroyed. His abode is also sanatan dhamma. So Krishna, he gives this knowledge which is always relevant. It never changes. We may think the world is so different now, but it's basically the same thing going on. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, hoping, durashaya, hoping to be happy and never being happy. Why nate vidu swartagating hi Vishnu? because we forgot Krishna. So Krishna's knowledge is eternally fixed and steady and never changes. He's not old-fashioned. Someone may think, oh, all this religion is old-fashioned. No, it's not old-fashioned. It's always relevant. And these fashions in the material world, they come and go. But Krishna and our relationship with Krishna is eternal. We may think that everything in this world is important, but we should know by hearing from Shastra, from our acharyas, what is the actual, our actual permanent situation. Yeah. Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. So truth is eternal. What is actually true doesn't change. It may be true. Well, it is true now that Karnataka is a state in India. But it won't always be true. It wasn't true how many years ago? 60 years ago? There was no such state as Karnataka. There were no 60, 70 years ago. There was no independent India. After some time also, it will change. I'm not making that as a political statement, but it's the nature of this world. That previously there were so many little kingdoms in India, then they're all united under the British, then again it got separated, and again it will change. And then even if India remains as one political unit up until the end of Kali Yuga, then at that time at least it'll all be dissolved and it'll start again. So it's true that Karnataka is a state in India, but it's not an eternal truth. It's some facet of the material energy. It's just like in a kaleidoscope. Everything changes, and it has, every time you turn the kaleidoscope, you can see it has some form. The image has a form, and it all looks very unified, and turn it again and it's gone. And so it's like that. In the material world, everything looks very organized. It may be, but it's temporary. Whereas Krishna is the eternal truth on which everything rests. He doesn't change. Eternally dependable and trustworthy. So that point is very important for us to understand. To link into the eternal. What is our eternal position as a servant of Krishna? We identify with this body and we identify with circumstances connected to our present position. So we think, I'm a young man or I'm a young woman. And this is how young men and young women think and act in the world today. So we have to adjust Krishna consciousness to the way the people think today, but no, that's the wrong idea. We have to adjust ourselves to Krishna because we're in some temporary situation which has got nothing to do with our actual position in the service of Krishna. So we have to adjust ourselves to Krishna. That is called Krishna consciousness, doing what Krishna wants, acting in a way, thinking in such a way that will be pleasing to Krishna. Dressing in such a way, following the same culture, so that we prepare ourselves to enter the eternal dham of Krishna. If we're attached to anything which Krishna doesn't like, then we have to come back to this material world. So we have to find out what Krishna likes and adjust ourselves to that. That is the process of purification. Chanting Hare Krishna to be purified. And purification, what does that mean? That means becoming free of kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, all these dirty things in the heart. It means becoming free of material attachments. But it doesn't mean just throwing them out, but then that has to be replaced or purified. Kama, Krishna, Karma, Pane, Krodha, Bhakta, Dveshi, Jane. So in this way, Narottam Das, he gives the idea. All these desires, our desires, we should not just get rid of them, but direct them to Krishna's service. Anger should be directed to those who are envious of devotees. So it's not that we get rid of desire, but we have to purify our desire. That means start to desire as Krishna desires, and then actually we become happy. As long as we're maintaining desires separately from those of Krishna, then we're in a position which is unsteady and non-eternal. We have to know what Krishna wants and dovetail ourself with that. There's so many points to understand from each of these names. The mind is always changing. Our material mind, it's always changing. Our likes and dislikes. We may become attached, just like a young man becomes attached to a young woman. He's attracted to that form. But the beautiful form of the young, apparently beautiful form of the young woman, that changes and becomes an ugly form of an old woman. And there's no longer attractive. So if we try to put our propensity to love into something in this world, it will change. But if we put our propensity to love in Krishna, he won't change. He'll always stay the same. He'll always be there for us. Now, it could be said that, well, Shiva is also Shashvata Sthira. He's also eternal and fixed in his position. That's true. We're also Shashvata Sthira, for that matter, in our pure existence. In our pure existence, we're fixed eternally in service to Krishna. But Shiva, being Shashvata Sthira, he's eternally fixed in what? In his position of service to Krishna. So there's the difference. Krishna is the eternal Shashvata Sthira. The living being, the Jiva, is also Shashvata. Ato Nitya, what's the next word? Shashvata. The Jiva is also eternal. And he's also Sthira by nature. Now we forgot that. But Krishna never forgets. So that's another of Krishna's names that we find in Vishnu Sahasranam, is Achyuta. He doesn't forget his position. He's always fixed in that. Baladev Vidyabhushan, the Gauriya Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, he gives the meaning of this name as that he always remains with his devotees, never leaving their association. He's fixed in his vow to be with them all the time, to be with the devotees. He's their eternal protector and friend. So prior to this name, Shashvata Sthira, came the name Sarvatas Chakshu, that he is seeable by everyone, or he sees everyone, he sees everything. And before that came the name Anisha, which means no one is, well, there are two main meanings of that name. One meaning is that he is not controlled by anyone, and another is that he's not always in the position of controller. He becomes controlled by his devotees. So if we take this name along with Shashvata Sthira, these three names, then we can understand he sees everything, he controls everything, and he's eternally fixed. So all these names taken together, we can understand that he's also the dispenser of universal justice. He sees everything. We can't get away from Him seeing. We may think I'll secretly commit some sin, but He sees it. And we can't escape from His law. He's always the controller. And He's eternally fixed in giving out, in dispensing these reactions. But there is a way to get around all of this, not by cheating Krishna, but by surrendering to Him. Krishna sees everything we do. He knows everything about us, good and bad, and in material existence is mostly bad. We're in this material world not because of anything good we did. We may speak about good people and bad people, but actually in this material world, we're all in the situation. Krishna bhuli, seji, vanadi, bahirmuk. Forgetting Krishna, we're all bahirmuk, means turned away from Krishna, or deliberately not liking Krishna since time immemorial. So Krishna knows that. But He also gives His assurance that if we surrender to Him, ahangta sarva papebhyo moksha yasham, He will deliver us from all our sinful reactions. So that is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. That's all I'll say about that for now. Shashvata Sthira. Does anyone have any question about this or comment? Radhe Shyam Prabhu, you'd like to comment something? Hare Krishna.